roll?
Yeah.
Good to just get started?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's go ahead.
Awesome. Okay. Hello and welcome to Behind the Screams. As always, my name is Ian. This is episode number 113. Today's episode, we are covering Summer of 84. But as always, I am not alone. I am once again returning this. That's good English. Returning to the show for the third time. It's Ashlina. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hello. Okay, so first of all, 13 is my lucky number. So episode 113, I feel pretty special. But yeah, no, hi again. Hello, I'm here to discuss horror. I'm excited. Thank you for having me for the third time.
Absolutely.
I feel special.
We're very, very happy to have you back. For those who are listening, if you haven't checked out the previous shows that Ashlina was on, you can go check those out. I can't remember what episode number they are, but they're the episodes on Mandy and the episode on Yummy. And
yes.
I feel like as well, like I always really enjoy having you on because maybe with the possible exception of Mandy, we always seem to do movies that maybe aren't quite there in the mainstream. You know?
Yeah.
Yummy certainly is not a movie that was well known in the mainstream. Mandy maybe a little bit more so.
Yeah.
But even then still, you know, it's when we talked about it, you know, and it's very stylistic and, you know, it's for a certain audience. And I feel like Summer of 84, even though in terms of what you physically see on screen, is probably the most mainstream looking of the three.
Yes.
It, again, it's a movie because it didn't have a wide theatrical release.
Yeah.
And because you know it's on Shudder. It seems like a very specialized movie. So I always really enjoy you always pick really exciting things to talk about.
Yay.
Things that I might not talk about otherwise. So I always really look forward to having you back on the show.
Yay! That makes me happy.
Do you want to remind our listeners where they can find you on your social medias? What are you up to just now? How is everything going with you?
So, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I know it's February, but it's fine. Which means, so New Year, new horror movies. I'm so excited to see what comes out and what else we could talk about. But nothing much has really been going on, just the usual. I am a Twitch streamer. I'm a content creator over on twitch.tv. You can find me at twitch.tv/Ashlina with two A's at the end. Still got my Etsy shop where I make horror goodies like scrunchies and stuff like that. I'm hoping to have a March release with some goodies. I started my own like little motivational podcast back again for season 3. That's it. I mean, honestly, life is boring over here for me. I just work a lot. That's really it. So,
Just so you don't feel so alone, life is incredibly boring here as well.
Yeah.
We are still in lockdown. Pretty much full lockdown. It's not quite as strict as the one we had like last March.
Yeah.
But the schools are still closed. Essential stores are closed, like non-essential stores, we need them. Non-essential stores are closed.
Yeah.
We've still got a stay-at-home order. Like we are still in lockdown.
That's tough.
But I mean, about one-fifth of our country, or just slightly more than that now, I think, is vaccinated. We've made really good progress with that, but it's going to slow down because we've now got to start giving people their second doses instead of giving people their first doses. So you know, we're getting there slowly. So I've just been like completely focused on just pumping out as much content as possible because we're back to doing 2 episodes a week. We're back on Twitch now, so we're streaming 4 nights a week on there. Doing horror games on Twitch. Patreon stuff. I actually just, for those who are listening as well, I just came from a stream into this recording. I was streaming Telltale's The Walking Dead tonight.
We're
making our way through season 1, but right now we're also streaming Outlast 2. We're also doing a weekly Dead by Daylight stream, and we're also streaming Silent Hill 2, which is like one of my favorite horror games.
Wow. Okay, well, if you need anyone to join you for Dead by Daylight ever, I would Love.
Well, we are hopefully going to be starting bringing some community nights and things like that to the stream as well, and I would absolutely love to do some gaming with you as well. So we will definitely reach out and we'll sort
Hell yeah.
it out. But yeah,
Hell yeah.
So we are just like the content machine
yes.
right now.
And yes.
It's like we were calling ourselves that before Christmas. It's even worse now because
yeah.
after New Year, I was like, right, we're going to have like a proper schedule.
Yeah,
we're gonna
yep.
have like a set release date. Everything's gonna be much more organized, and it's gonna take yeah. loads of pressure off me. But because it took more pressure off me, I decided, you know what? I'm just gonna chuck in all this extra
yeah.
shit to do.
I need pressure. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so that's pretty much what I've been doing.
I feel that, and I mean, think about it. We've been in lockdown for like almost a year. Like, I feel like content creation and just like doing things like this is what just like keeps us afloat. It keeps us busy. It keeps our minds clear, you know? So, you know,
absolutely. Like if I didn't have this to do, I mean, my mental health has taken a bashing quite a
yeah.
lot over the past years. And I'm sure,
same.
I'm sure, you know, you're the same and you know, many people who are,
who
are in the same boat. If I hadn't had this podcast, I would be in so much worse condition. I got really
absolutely.
Bad, I got really, really bad seasonal depression over the Christmas
yeah.
period as well. But you know, I've had like a good spell for the past four or five weeks now, which is great. Obviously, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But you know, it's been tough. It's been tough
it's
for
tough.
Everyone. It's really,
really
been. It's really not been good. But we'll get there. We'll get there together, as we
That's
always
right.
do. And we'll all just help each other through this. The
exactly.
The end, but better times are in sight. And I think
yes.
we just need to remember that, like, good, better times, getting to do the things, getting to see
yep.
our families and friends. They're
yep.
they're on the horizon. So
yeah,
we will get
absolutely.
There.
And until then, we'll just watch horror movies and talk about them.
I mean, what better way is there to actually
I know.
Spend your time?
I know.
I mean,
if
you're not spending your free time just watching horror movies, then what are you doing with your life?
I know. What are you doing? Hello?
But all those links that Ashleena gave you, you can find them in the description for this week's show. Don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at Screams Behind. Facebook and Instagram is Behind the Screams Podcast. I've already talked about our Twitch, twitch.tv/Behind the Screams Podcast. You can also
yep.
support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Behind the Screams. You can sign up there at two different tiers, either the £1 tier or the £5 tier. Both of them get you a whole host of bonus content. On the £1 tier, you get two bonus episodes a month. You also get access to our subscriber only Discord. You get early access to all of our regular episodes. And then if you subscribe at the £5 tier, you get all those perks. On top of that, you get an extra two bonus episodes a month.
Wow.
Plus you get the video for all of our regular Wednesday shows, because we now record the video for it. So
Ooh,
you get
okay.
uncut and unedited videos. So you get to hear all the mistakes. You get to see me faffing about and panicking when things are going wrong. So
yeah.
you get all of that, plus some more as well. There's some merchandise and some other perks on there as well. So please,
holy hell.
Patreon.com/behind the screams. Go and support us there as well.
That's amazing.
But shall we talk about this movie? Because I'm excited
yeah.
to talk about this movie.
Yeah, I'm told. Let's do it. I'm
okay.
down.
So we're talking about Summer of 84. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
The sheriff's office reports they're likely looking for a white male. Preferred targets appear to be males aged 12 to 16.
It's a serial killer.
The Cape May Chronicle received a letter from an individual calling themselves the Cape May Slayer.
There's a serial killer on the loose. What else could possibly be this exciting?
Incoming titties. 12 o'clock.
Guys, Nikki Keshuba. Scientifically the perfect woman.
Huh. View of my room than I thought. Silly dreams.
Emergency meeting. Treehouse. Now. Mackie is the Cape May Slayer.
Mackie's a cop with a sick reputation.
Isn't counting on us. That's blood.
David.
Hey.
Guys, I'm freaking out, okay?
Relax. You look like you're 30. It's gonna be fine. Now go.
You're gonna get caught either by Mackie or your dad.
I know. I'm right about him.
That doesn't prove anything.
Are you with me?
I don't want anything bad to happen to you.
You're
trying to save people.
Yeah, well, you're not.
Guys on station are gonna love this.
Just let it go.
Sorry again that you're grounded. Let's see if I can get you out of this house. No hard feelings.
You were wrong. You were wrong about everything.
Even serial killers live next door to somebody.
This movie mm-hmm. was released in 2018, was directed by Francois Simard and Anouk Wissel, and stars Graham Verscher, Judah Lewis, and Caleb Emery. The IMDb plot is as follows. After suspecting that their police officer neighbour is a serial killer, a group of teenage friends spend their summer spying on him and gathering evidence. But as they get closer to discovering the truth, things begin to get dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is you picked this movie. When you were on the show last, I think you picked it actually on the show.
probably.
We were doing Mandy, you had suggested that we do Summer of 84.
Yeah.
So why... Just briefly, sort of, why this movie? Why did you want to talk about this movie so much?
So, I thought it was a good, like, kind of, like, step from Mandy, because Mandy was kind of psychedelic, and Yummy kind of... I feel like the movies that we've covered have kind of had the same vibe. And so, what I liked about this movie was it reminded me and felt so much like Stranger Things. And Stranger Things is one of my favorite, like, you know, shows on Netflix, one of my favorite, like, franchises. And it, like, I don't know, I just feel like the movies that I've chosen or, like, we've talked about covering on the show have all had a similar vibe. And I think it's possibly on accident, but I really liked this movie. I liked the vibes of it a lot. And, like, of course, we'll get into that. And then, you know, the writer... on Twitter is so incredibly kind and so supportive of, like, the horror community, and so I thought it would be fun to cover it, you know, and let him hear our thoughts on it.
Well, yeah, as well, because you know, to take it away from the movie a little bit, just before I get back to that, that's such an important thing as well, is
yes.
to have that sort of fan interaction on the social yes. medias. And I know, and like, we, you know, as well, like, social media can be a really difficult place.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I would imagine it's a very difficult place for some filmmakers as well, especially if you yes. know it's not a huge blockbuster movie,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's maybe not got perfect ratings from all the critics and things like that. I can imagine
yeah.
it would be quite a difficult place to be. I know, like, just from some of the interactions we have and some of the
yeah.
douchebags and dickheads that
yeah.
we have to deal with.
Yeah.
Twitter especially is,
yes.
is a very tough place to be. So I'm always really happy when I see or I hear that writers, producers, directors, or even just the stars themselves are so
yes.
willing to go out there and interact with them. You know, we had on this show the producer of 1BR and
yep.
Naomi Grossman. We had them on the show because their social media presence is really, really good.
Yep.
And that always means so much to me as well, because it's because
yeah.
you know, we're all just out here trying to get by. And
yeah.
I feel like sometimes with certain directors and certain writers and, you know, stars and managers and whatever else, there can be a little bit of, like, elitism in there.
Yeah,
100%. So I'm always so happy when I see, you know, people really making an effort to sort of just
yeah.
talk to the common man for
yeah.
for
I feel like the horror community is definitely that way. Like, I've told you before, like, I've been, like, decently quiet about my love for horror throughout my life just because people think you're weird, right?
Oh yeah.
And these past couple of years, like, I've really come out of my shell, and so everyone has been so supportive of me, and, like, don't worry, like, we're all in the same boat together, like, we love you, we love, like, your thoughts on horror, you know, just, like, it's a really great community. And so when you see the writers coming out and also expressing their love for us, I mean, ultimately we're paying them, so I mean, you know, you know, it's so great to have that, and I feel like that connects us closer to the movies too.
Absolutely.
So
I think as well with the horror community as well, number one is we all grew up being that sort of weird person that liked horror
yes.
movies, so we've all had that same experience, you know, because
yep.
horror's never really been that mainstream. that mainstream, or it's always been treated as, you know, the sort of sideshow or the freak show or whatever else. So we've all had that same exact experience. So and I think that just brings us all that little bit closer together. Don't get me 100%. Wrong, just like every other community, you'll get the odd person here or there, and we'll deal with them. We'll deal with them in our own weird way. But by and large, you know, it really is a great community to be in.
Yes, I agree.
I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm. Just to go back to the movie, get a little sidetracked there. I completely get what you're feeling with the sort of Stranger Things vibes, you know. It
has,
you know, It Chapter 1 or It Chapter 2 as well, sort of style vibes as well. I was getting big Babysitter vibes off of this, and I couldn't put my finger on why I was getting Babysitter vibes specifically until I realized that the kid that plays the guy that plays Tommy is Judah Lewis, who is the main character in the Babysitter.
Well, there we go.
I'm sitting there the entire movie, and I was like, I'm really getting Babysitter vibes off this, and I couldn't.
Why?
I thought I was going crazy, but it's because Judah Lewis is in this. So
that is hilarious. Do you think
because, obviously, Stranger Things is such a successful series. You know, it's a series that has brought the genre to a lot of people that might never have seen it before or might not have watched it before. And, you know, I'm saying It Chapter 1 there. Obviously, that was such a huge, big blockbuster movie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think having the sort of same vibes, the same sort of aesthetic, although, you know, there's obviously differences. Do you think that helped or hindered this movie?
So, you know, it definitely has that retro, like, 1980s feel, which I think is another reason why I chose this movie, because I feel like the 70s and 80s were the best times for horror movies, first of all. Second of all, I think it appeals to us in a way that, like, we get to experience what it was like, because not all of us were alive, like, during the 70s and 80s. So I think those who love that genre of horror, especially, we're kind of getting like a glimpse into it. And I think that that's why it's popular. But I don't know. I think it definitely has an aesthetic that's very like appeasing. But I feel like they could have done it in modern times. And I feel like it would have been just the same cool movie. But I really do think like the retro-ness and like the 80s vibes to it like helped me. I liked it. Like, I think it appeases. No. I think it appeases to, you know, the people who are really enjoying Stranger Things or like the retro horror or love the 80s, you know. But I'm trying to think, like, if it would have been done like in 2020, you know, like that time, I think it still would have been cool. But I definitely think retroness.
I think there's just a level of comfort that comes with the sort of style and the aesthetic from it. Like you're saying, you know, the 80s specifically, I know we're talking about the 70s as well, but the 80s is remembered so fondly, for better or for worse, you know, like, to the detriment, I think it's remembered too fondly, to be honest with you, but to the point where it becomes detrimental to, you know, other decades of horror, especially, you know, more recent stuff and things like that, but that's a whole other conversation. You know, it's remembered so fondly, and not just for horror films, just for life in general, you know, 80s music and 80s fashion and all that sort of thing. You know, it's just remembered so fondly. So to have that sort of aesthetic, I think it's just comfortable for people. Whether it's a case of, even if you weren't born then, but you just like 80s movies, you know, like I was born in 1991, so.
Yeah, same.
I was not even a thought in my father's arm. when these mid-80s movies were coming out. But you know, whether it's that's when you grew up, or whether that's when you were born, or that's just what you remember fondly, the majority of people think, you know, 80s movies, 80s, that's where life was at, wasn't it? So I think that definitely lends to this movie.
Yeah, that's a good point.
One of the things that I really want to talk about, and it's possibly one of my favorite aspects of this entire movie, is the score, because I really, really love this score. It's very, you know, synthy. It's not in your face at any time. You know, it's got that sort of low level, almost like pulsing synth pulse going on in the background. Yes. And yes. I find that such a good way of building tension, and it almost reminds me of being like a more sort of synthy version of the Thing soundtrack. And I know that sounds ridiculous because you're at Summer of 84 and the Thing, those two things don't go together. But the Thing had this really, in my mind, like they had this really like low level soundtrack.
Yeah.
That was never, it was never really like proper in your face, you know, it wasn't screaming music at you throughout the entire movie, but was so effective at building tension. And I think they maybe not quite to the Thing level, but I think they did a really good job doing very similar here.
Yes, absolutely. That was one of my favorite things as well, was the music. That is what gave me the Stranger Things vibes, I think. But yeah, no, it wasn't loud, like screeching and the loud, like synthesizer, you know, and or anything like that. It was, it was one of my favorite things too. And I think that that's such a big part of movies for me. That's music speaks to me differently. And I think when it's portrayed in the right way with the right scene at the right volume, it can definitely add to it. I mean, think about Psycho and like, you know, like that like set the tone, I feel like, for like what music can do to horror movies. And so, yeah, I really liked it too. It was one of my favorite things too. I 100% agree with everything that you said. For sure.
Well, I don't usually get that kind of response from my co-host, so
I feel like you and I are similar. Like, I don't know,
every week at this point. You're talking about score there. I think score is possibly now one of the most important things.
Yeah,
you know, it can really make or break a movie. And
I think so too.
You mentioned Psycho there, but you know, and I was talking about The Thing, but you know, you think of movies like Halloween, he has one of the most iconic scores of all time.
That's my ringtone. Yeah, that's my ringtone. Like, it's that's what you remember. And like, it's almost like it's one of those senses. Like, okay, so you know how there's the saying, like, if you smell something, like you'll remember like being at your grandmother's house, or like you'll remember like your wedding or whatever, like certain smells. Like, I feel like music is like that too. All you have to do is just hear a little bit of it and you flash to a memory of like you driving in the car, you know, with your best friends. Or like every time I hear the Halloween song, I am in my best friend's bedroom. It is dark outside and I'm freaking out, you know, like, so I feel like music is another one of those like connecting things. And why I think it's so important in a movie or in a show or whatever, because it connects us to a memory. And I just think that's so special how the human brain like works in that way. And so, yeah.
I think as well.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I completely agree with you. And I think as well, not only is it, you know, that memory thing that you're talking about, where, you know, just a couple of chords of a song can instantly place you somewhere in your memories.
Yes.
I find that score is also a really good gateway for people who maybe aren't massive genre fans, you know, because everyone can have an opinion on a score.
Yeah.
Everyone can say, you know what, I love that music, or I didn't like that music, or I thought that really went with the tone of the film. So I think like having that good score is a really good way for people who maybe aren't genre fans to relate to a movie, or to even get into a movie, or to, for them to decide, you know what, I like this or I don't like this, even if that's just subconsciously. So I think score is so vital, and I think they got it spot on in this film. Okay, that's excellent.
Yes, yes.
Right, let's talk about this actual film in a bit more detail. So obviously, we've got these group of kids. We've got Davey, we've got Tommy, we've got Woody, and we've got Faraday. Mm-hmm. There's other kids that they play around with, but these four kids, it's the summer holidays of 1984. Yeah. Shocking. And there's a serial killer on the loose. I've instantly forgotten what the serial killer is called, but that's fine.
Sheriff Caldwell?
Mr. Mackey.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the one. Mr. Mackey, who's one of the police officers. Is he the sheriff or is he just generic police officer? I'm not sure.
I guess he's just a police officer. I'm looking at the website as well. I guess he's just a police officer. Okay. That makes sense then.
So he lives across the street from Davey. And they suspect that Mr. Mackey is the serial killer. Apologies, you might hear my cat in the background, but so I want to jump to the very end because for me this is the sort of meat. Did you think that Mr. Maki was eventually not going to be the killer, or were you just, you know, believing, going along with it, yes, he is the killer? Or was you expecting it to be someone else?
Oh, gosh. You know, I found myself really fighting with myself over what it was going to be. I always, like, okay, first of all, let's just talk about, like, the spin or whatever of, you know, them going in the basement and finding that kid. Like, wow, holy shit. You know, I definitely got vibes that it could be him, but I was like, oh, like, he's just so boring. Like, I don't know, you know, like, I don't know if he could be it. So I was like, it's got to be a different neighbor or so. Oh, my gosh. I was going so back and forth, but like as things started getting closer to the end, I became more set on, I really do think it's him, you know? But I definitely found myself like fighting, like, is it, could it be? God, I don't know. He's so boring, you know?
So when I was going through this movie, I kept saying to myself, it's too obvious to be him. You know, like there's always,
yeah,
whenever you're watching a murder mystery or not even like a movie, you know, some of these murder programs that you get, you know, there's always the one person that it's like they're sort of setting up for,
yeah,
you to think is the killer. And then at, yeah, the last minute, they'll swerve you and it won't actually be him.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of thinking that they were going to go for that in this
movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, but there came a point in the movie where I thought, you know what, we're just spending too much time. There was no real other person it could have been.
Yes, yes, that's so, know, true. That's so true.
Because there's actually, aside from the four kids and Mr. Maki, there's not a lot of other characters in this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Davy's parents.
Just the parents, yeah.
They slip in and out. They're not really a major part of this film. So I feel like, yeah, if they were to turn it around and, you know, it was to be one of them, like if it was going to be his dad or something.
That's like what I was thinking. Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I think realistically, he's probably the only other option it could have been. And I would have been disappointed if he had turned out to be the killer.
Yeah.
Because I don't,
yeah,
think they gave us enough for that. So
I think
they gave us the right choice out of the two of,
yes,
them. That end twist is certainly shocking, you know, because,
yeah,
because,
and he definitely, like, it turns out when he kills his friend, and oh my god, my jaw dropped. I was like, okay, he's not boring, he's scary, like just straight up like slits his throat right in front, yeah, of him, like, okay, that's horrific, you know, like, you know, if you're putting yourself in the position. And I was like, okay, he's not boring, he's literally chasing these kids through the woods. It's like a switch. Like, he just, like, switched, and I was like, okay, this is great. This is good. I like this.
It was almost like two different movies, to be,
yes,
honest with you, because,
yes,
as soon as, you know, he's kind of rumbled, and we know that,
yeah,
it's him, this, yeah, movie takes a really dark turn, because,
yeah,
up until that point, for the majority of this movie, yeah, okay, they're hunting this serial killer. But it'd been in, like, a kind of lighthearted tone. There'd been some,
yeah,
jokes along the way. You know,
yeah,
it was fun. Like, it was,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't super
serious. It was lighthearted, yeah.
It was quite lighthearted. And then, boom. Okay, everyone knows Mr. Maki is the killer.
Yeah.
And shit gets real.
Yeah.
Because,
yes,
I was like you. I was completely stunned when Woody, he slits Woody's throat. And even as he was doing it, I'm sitting here and I'm watching it and I'm going, no, he's,
yeah,
going to be fine. You know, he's going to have fucked it up or something funny is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, he's fucking just slit that child's throat.
Literally. Yeah, I'm not even joking. Like, my jaw just dropped open because, like, okay, so Woody is like, first of all, we could talk about, like, a little bit of the background, but, like, Woody, like, lives in kind of, like, an abusive household.
Yes.
And, you know, he asked to spend the night over at Davy's house, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, he kind of lives in an abusive household. And I was like, holy shit, like, they just took the character that's, like, going through the most in the movie, essentially, you know. I feel like some of the other kids are also having a hard time, but, like, first of all, horror trope, immediately. You got the nerd, you got the pervert, you got the, you know, quiet one, you got the, you know, overweight one, quote unquote overweight, because, you know, anyway. And I was just like, they literally took the character who is like having such a hard time and just straight up them. It was like a stab in my back. I was like, oh my God, this is like, it just, oh, it just added so much more emotion to it, which I think is why they probably did it. But I was like, holy shit. Wow.
I think, you know, as well, just a few minutes before that, and it was literally just a few minutes before that, this character, Woody, literally says, I can't die, my mom needs me.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
yeah.
And then they just, a few minutes later, kill him off. And kill him off in a really brutal fashion as well.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. That.
I got the chills.
Yeah, that was so effective. I thought that was the ending to this film, I think, yeah. Easily the most chilling, most spooky, the best part of this film for me.
Oh yeah, me too.
Minutes, you know.
Yeah,
And even just taking it away, you know, it just becomes so much more brutal. He slices Davy's Achilles, which, yes, you know, we've seen a few times. You know, that's not new, but it's something that always makes me cringe. There's not many things left in horror that make me cringe. But, yeah, slicing
Pet Cemetery. Pet Cemetery. Yes. When you first see that shit, it makes me want to puke, dude. Like, yes, yeah, I can't do it. I can't. That is the one body part where I'm like, no, don't touch it. Don't touch it.
It was only the second time on this podcast that I've watched something and I was like, oh no, because have you seen the movie Revenge?
Yes.
You know the part where he's like picking the glass out of his
foot? Oh my God. Okay, seriously. Oh, I have never been so fucking uncomfortable in my entire life until you're watching him literally try to get that glass out of his foot. Oh, yes. Thank you for bringing that up, because oh my God.
I'm actually sweating thinking about
it. No, literally, I just started sweating too. Like, that whole scene is pretty dope anyways. Like, I love that fucking movie. I've watched it like 3 times now, but that part just gets me every time. Oh my God, it's horrible. Sorry, I don't want to keep bringing it up, but holy shit. If you have not seen Revenge, you need to watch it first of all, because it's a great movie as a woman. It's very empowering. But second of all, it has some great like gore SFX to it. But that part, you maybe skip it, because you will want to throw up. Oh my God, yeah. Wow.
And then
once
you've watched it, go check out our review for it as well. just to take it away from glass and food, because I'm really giving myself the hot sweats. You know, not only that as well, there's the moment where, is it Davy realizes that Mr. Mackey, or it's not even that he realizes, it's the moment we realize that Mr. Mackey's been hiding in Davy's house. He's been hiding in the attic.
Yes. I got so much Black Christmas vibes from that. Oh, yes. That,
It's for me as well, like, you know, you sit there and you think, oh, well, you see the stairs to the attic lower down. And you're in your head, you know, if you weren't watching that, you'd think, all right, okay. But because it's in such contrast to everything that we've seen up until this movie. And I'm not saying what we've seen up until this point is bad, because it's not.
Yeah.
It's just the tonal change is so significant.
It fucking 180s. It 180s from that point. Like, it doesn't turn... It, like, it really goes to a dark place, I feel like, from that point on. It really 180s. You're so right. Like, I remember it turning into, like, okay, now this is a horror movie now. Like,
yeah,
that's terrifying.
Up until that point, you know, people have said, well, it's not really that big a horror movie. And, you know, I know you follow me on Twitter. Like, I have a big, I always get a big bee in my bonnet about people who's like, oh, well, it's not really a horror movie. And I'm just like, oh, go away. But I would understand people who are like, well, you know, like, and I would be like, okay, I kind of get it. But when that change happens, it's like, right, we're just going to give you 20 minutes of pure horror.
Absolutely.
And you know what, like, off the top of my head, I can't really think of a movie that's had such a change in tone so
and
so harsh. You know, movies change their tones, that happens, but it goes so far off the other direction. And I know we're spending quite a lot of time talking about this, but I feel like it's so important to the overall of this movie that we need to give it this sort of special attention. I can't think 100%. Of anything else that's really
I really can't either, because, like, I mean, we're literally watching kids like you know, whatever, they're looking at porn magazines in their little treehouse or whatever, you know, and like, I have a crush on this girl and like going to school and all, or like, you know, they're on summer vacation watching movies, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden it's like, quote unquote, fuck these kids, you know, murderous rage, horrifying, locking kids in basements that are disgusting, starving them, you know, oh God, like it literally 180s. And that's why I liked it a lot, too, is because it just 180s on you so quick.
What I do like as well, there's not a lot of obviously there's very little gore in this up until that.
Yeah.
There's none until those, the last few scenes. What gore we do get is very, very good, I think. The, you know,
I think so, too.
The decomposing body in the bathtub as well. I think that looks super gross.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, you know, the slicing of the Achilles and the throat slit, things like that. I think the effects in this movie were good. Limited use, obviously, but used to good effect. I think, again, it's that whole sort of thing of less is more, isn't it? And it's something that I've preached on this podcast since day one, you know, is less is more. And, you know, sometimes you just don't need to show us everything or, you know, show us.
But let our imagination finish it out. Yes. Yeah. Let our imagination finish it out. That's why I love Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's because you never really see him, like, put the person on the hook, but your brain goes there, you know? And I feel like that added a whole other element to that movie. And, like, same with this. Like, our imagination had to kind of finish the sentence. And that, if you let your imagination go, I mean, you know, that's why reading is fun, right? Because your imagination, you know. So, yeah, I agree.
We'll get into some of the other themes that happen earlier in the movie in just a second. So the last thing about this ending that we'll talk about, Mr. Maki, of course, escapes.
Yeah.
And probably delivers the most chilling message to this 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Like, he literally tells him, I'm not going to kill you now, but I'm going to come back for you one day. One day when you're ready, I'm going to come back for you and I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
That's so fucking chilling.
Yeah. Saying sorry, like, isn't gonna be enough. Like, I'm going to come back for you. Like, are you fucking kidding me? First of all, who says that to a kid? Second of all, ew, gross. that is so scary. Oh my God, to be okay. First of all, when I was 15, like, I'm pretty sure I was still like climbing trees and like playing basketball out in the yard. Okay, I mean, like, I was driving, but, you know, like, I was still, you're so young, you know, and like to hear that from your neighbor who has lived beside you. Oh my God, that's creepy. Yeah, no, it was.
Not only has lived beside you, but he's lived beside you for so long. He's a police officer.
Yes.
As well. Yes. That's just, again,
disturbing.
It's very, very disturbing. I can't put it any better than that. Okay. Yep. Let's talk about some of these things that happened earlier in the movie then, because we obviously focused quite a lot on the last 15 minutes. This is quite a long movie. It's an hour and 45.
Yeah.
One of the, it's probably, I do have a couple of issues, and one of them would be for me that in the middle of this sort of first half, I say first half, this first portion, the portion before it goes fucking batshit insane, drags a little bit at certain points for me. Like, I feel like it could have been tightened up even just by like 10 or 15 minutes, maybe not even that much, just like 5 minutes, and I think it would have made for a much better paced movie. But I'm kind of nitpicking here. I don't have a huge amount to complain about this movie, so I'm trying to be super critical. For me, it did just sort of go on just a little bit too long. I don't know how you felt about that.
So couple of things for me, and this is probably because, you know, like, I identify as like a girl, you know, like watching them like fawn over his like girl neighbor and like them being so perverted and like so into their wieners and all that, like, that was so cringe for me. I was like, I cannot do this. Like, these kids don't stop talking about girls and porn. But, you know, like I said, I identify as like a woman. I don't get that way, you know, but like, I'm like, you're getting a glimpse of like kids, you know, or like the shit that they talk about. Anyway, so I felt like that was kind of cringe. I feel like it was very much like in our face, maybe a little bit too much, especially with like the one friend,
Tommy.
He seemed kind of older.
So
that I had a little bit of a problem with. And then I felt like some of the scenes like, especially in the treehouse and like in their bedroom and stuff, I feel like it did kind of like it could have ended a little bit sooner. I think, I agree.
I think coming from my perspective, because obviously I identify as a man, I've been that age. I've been the teenage boy.
Yeah,
and I don't really remember talking about that sort of stuff as much as these guys were. It was very, very in your face. It was very over the top.
Yeah.
A little unrealistic. I don't think any teenage boy really goes to that sort of lengths, especially when they're friends. I mean, for me, it was always, I was,
shy and quiet.
I wouldn't even say I was shy and quiet. I was just confused, I was confused, there were whole sorts of stuff happening. I was going through my whole sort of sexual awakening. It just wasn't something that I really discussed with my friends. Not that I had when I was at school.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe I just needed more.
You just needed weird friends. I mean, no. So I watched this movie with my community, my Twitch community. We have movie nights every other Sunday, and like, of course, like, I'm like, can we please watch a horror movie, because this is a great way for me to get in a movie and spend time with y'all. And so we watched this together, and I remember like a few of the boys that came to watch with, they're like, I was never like this as a child. Like, even them, they were like, this is kind of cringe. Like, I don't remember being like this either. So that's a good point that you bring up, because I do remember a couple of them being like, no.
Yeah, no. I think they've obviously tried to make it over the top. I think they've
gone
just a little bit too far in that direction.
Yeah,
they needed to just rein that in a little bit, because
just a little bit.
I think potentially they've tried to put a lot of humor in it as well.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think because it ends up being so cringy, a lot of that for me just falls a little bit flat.
Yeah.
Whereas the comedy in this movie, we were sort of comparing it to Stranger Things and It Chapter 1. I was getting my babysitter vibes from it.
Yes.
Babysitter especially, I think the comedy in that is very good. I think it's very laugh out loud at times. And I don't feel like the comedy here is laugh out loud at times.
No, it's chuckle. But it's definitely a chuckle.
That doesn't necessarily make it bad comedy. It just
makes it a different type
of comedy. But I think because you've got the cringiness in there with the sex chat from the boys.
Yeah.
It does make the comedy just fall that little bit flat, and I think it affects some of the other comedy as well.
Because you're just so shocked by kind of everything else, you're just like, huh?
Yeah, because Tommy's constantly going on about banging
bro.
His mom and all this thing with Nikki, and it's just a bit too much.
I agree.
So, obviously, the big theme, I think, from this movie is that you never really know what's going on behind closed doors. That's kind of the big sort of message, isn't it, really, from this film?
Yeah.
And you've already mentioned the fact that Woody was living in a very sort of abusive household. Yeah. We know that Tommy was living in an abusive household as well.
Yep.
There's one point is where he's speaking to Faraday, and he's saying, I don't want to witness a murder-suicide because his parents are arguing.
Fighting,
I think this is a message, not even necessarily that you don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but you never know what someone is going through. Because Tommy, his exterior is this really crude, rude, very sort of sexual comedy type of character.
Yeah.
But here he is, but when he goes home, he's having to deal with a very abusive, well, we don't know if they're abusive towards him. I would assume that it's an abusive father.
Yeah. And then doesn't he have like a dickhead brother too? Like an older brother?
Yeah, he has like an older brother who calls him names and just isn't really that very nice to him. And I think this is so, this whole sort of issue is so prevalent just now as well, especially with everything that's going on with COVID.
Yeah.
Is that you just don't know what someone is going through. And I think
that's such a good point.
Really is, just be fucking nice to each other,
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point that you bring up, because really honestly, we don't. And he actually says that at the end is you don't know who your neighbors are. You don't know who's living next door. Besides that, you also don't know what people are going through. And that's a good point that you make. You know, I think that that hits home a lot, like, for us. So I'm glad that you brought that up. That's a very good point.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, so we've sort of briefly touched on these four characters here. We've mm-hmm. also got this girl next door.
Yeah.
We've got Nikki. Mm-hmm. I kind of have an issue with just why she's here.
Okay.
She doesn't really do anything. She,
yeah.
She doesn't serve any sort of plot purpose.
Yeah.
And that kind of bugs me because I really think you could have done something with her that was quite clever and smart. But I just don't think they've used her character at all well here.
The part where she like climbs through the window and she's supposed to be taking care of the neighbor's cat, for a second there, I was like, oh, is she in on this? Like, yeah. For a second, I was like, ooh, that's kind of a weird placement for this right now, because they were like investigating the house or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, like, this is kind of weird. Does she have something to do with this? You know, for a second, that's what I thought. But I honestly, I think that she was there just like for him. It's like a different focus, I guess, like maybe trying to make like a little bit of like a love story or something. But I do agree with you. I feel like there needed to be more to her or something, like, yeah. Besides just like this crush that he has, and like, you know, she kisses him and all the guys are like, oh my god, what the hell, you know. I don't know, it's definitely a weird thing. And I do believe like towards the end she was the one that was like, follow your gut, right? Yes or no? I can't remember.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, maybe just for that aspect of it, I do agree with you. I do agree with you, though.
Yeah, I just, like, I don't think, like, I certainly don't think the actress that's played her has done a bad job or anything like that.
Oh, no, no, no.
She shouldn't be in this movie. I'm not saying that at all. I just think they could have written her stronger. They've definitely, you know, I think they've missed a trick there. I think they could have, like, yep. They could have played up on, is she in on it, you know? And she could have just been that red herring to sort of keep us guessing for longer in the movie.
Yeah.
I think that actually would have been quite a smart way of doing it. Or not you know, what? Not necessarily her committing the murders, but maybe she's doing stuff for Maki, you know?
That's what I thought for a brief second,
Doesn't she say at one point that her dad and Mr. Maki, like, go fishing together?
Yes.
So
yes.
there could have been something there. There could have been something to that, but we never really play on this movie never really plays on it. And I think they maybe would have been better served if they had done that.
Yep. I think so too. But you know, obviously the end is like, okay, there's going to be another one. So we could see what she does in her part.
Do you think we're going to get another one?
Oh God, it felt like it. It felt like it because obviously what he says, and then like, you know, he's Davey's crawling down the street and that guy picks him up in the truck or whatever and takes him to the hospital. Just that looming like fear of like, this guy could come back at any fucking second. Like, it just made me feel like there's going to be another one, and it's going to be this roller coaster of like emotions and like looking over his shoulder constantly, like kind of maybe the dark side of this movie. So that's what I thought.
Okay.
But
I could definitely see that. I could definitely see that happening. And I if they were to make a sequel, I would absolutely be checking it out. The only other point that I really want to talk to, and then I'll let you have the floor for anything else that we've not talked about yet. I want to talk a bit about the sort of jump scares in this movie, because there are quite a few. And jump scares is something that tends to annoy a lot of people who are genre fans. And you sort of traditionally know jump scares with, you know, supernatural horror movies. Yep. That tends to be, obviously that's not the case here.
Yeah.
I kind of like some of the jump scares here. I didn't, mm-hmm. like, it's not, you know, people say, oh, well, if a jump scare is well earned, then it's fine. I don't even necessarily think that they were well earned. I just think they did a good job in number one, keeping us interested at potential times where the story might just have been lagging that little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
Just giving you, that little boost of adrenaline that's going to keep you going. Yes. Keep you going for the next 20 minutes until the next one comes along. And I think there were sparse enough that you could never accuse this movie of just being like, full of jump scares,
Yeah.
There was what, four or five? And
I believe so.
I think I jumped at almost all of them. So they did their job.
Yeah. I definitely got startled for sure. Yeah.
What do you think about that? Like, how do you feel about jump scares anyway?
So I believe I tweeted the other day, I played a game called The Medium, and like there was literally like maybe, oh yeah, The Medium.
Yes.
So there was like maybe two jump scares in that game, but the entire like atmosphere of it is what freaked me out and made the game scary to me. So obviously, like, I tweeted that like a game or a movie or horror doesn't have to have jump scares to be scary. Like, you can just create an atmosphere that is freaky and creepy and weird and has this underlying message of just like intrusion on you. And that to me is scarier. But with this movie, I didn't feel, oh, like that was so cheap. Like I felt like it was fine. I didn't have any issue with it. I just like, I think we both have agreed that like that last like 15-20 minutes is just like the vibes that they created. That's what made it like, ooh, chilling for me. And like, think about it. You have to think about it too. And like, I don't want to get this morbid, but it's like the reality of the situation. Like, this is a grown adult that is stealing kids and like messing with kids. Like, that's disgusting. And that is very intrusive on the mind and very just disturbing. And so that to me was, that to me just like, that's horror, and it's hitting those disturbing things, like the reality of the world, and so I didn't mind the jump scares, but I'm telling you, like, the last bit is what really got me.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, again, when it comes to these types of movies, it's always what makes it more effective is again, I don't mean to scare people or anything, but this could happen.
And I think that's why his message was the way that it was at the end. Like, you never know who your neighbors are, because it's fucking true. Yeah.
He says.
So,
every serial killer has a next door neighbor.
Oh, yeah. No, exactly. And you hear so many books of like, oh, the stranger next door, the neighbor next door, the girl next door, the guy next. You hear so many stories of that, right? And so it hit home in that 80s way, because I feel like, who was the killer? The Colorado, I don't even remember what his name was. Anyways, he was just a neighbor, and he would just sneak in through their sliding back door, back in the 80s and all this shit, I feel like it hit home like to the things that were happening back then, which I think is another reason why I liked it. It gives you a glimpse at things that you didn't get to see, but yeah, no, it can happen. And that's what fucking freaked me out. So
yeah, no, I would definitely agree with that. Okay, is there anything else on your list, positives, negatives, that you want to bring up, mention, discuss? I've kind of gone through most of my list.
And like, I feel like those were the things that I wanted to talk about as well. And I was able to kind of express my thoughts on like the perversion and like them being like boys, like how I thought that was just a little bit too much. And just like the kills at the end, like just how shocking that was, and just like, wow, it really took it to a whole new level. But I mean, for the most part, I really, really enjoyed this movie. It hit all of the Ashlina vibes, is what I call them, like the synth wave 80s retro horror. I'm huge into that, and I just like, it is, again, we have talked about this before, I feel like this is a movie that if your friend is like not really into horror, this is like one of those movies to like introduction into horror, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why I really enjoyed it too, is because horror movies lately, especially the ones that we've covered, I guess except for Mandy, because that's a fucking trip. But I feel like the movies, seriously. I feel like the movies that we've kind of chatted about, even like on Twitter or whatever, like I feel like a lot of movies, especially in the last year, have been such great introductory like movies into horror. And so the community just like continues to grow. Like, there's something in this movie for everybody. Like, I got my gore, you know, I got like my disturbing, like kind of feels, what really scares me, you know, and like some people, they have their comedy moments, they have their jump scares. Like, I feel like there was something in this movie for everybody. And it's a great introductory, like a Scream, you know, or even Yummy to horror.
I mean, I've always stated that the best introductory horror movies are ones that sort of straddle two different genres anyway, because, you know, it gives people an entry point. And in here, like you're saying, that actually the sort of covers multiple, you know, you've got you've got the murder mystery aspect of it. So, you know, that for some people isn't out and out horror, you know, that's that's more every, and I like most people probably, you know, I really love a good whodunit sort of movie. Like, I absolutely do. It's got
that true crime itch, that true crime itch that we all get.
But it, like you say, it's got its moments of comedy in there. It's got its moments of gore in there. So there really is something for everyone. And, you know, when we were talking about Yummy, because that's obviously, you know, this this really sort of out there, you know, horror comedy. Again, you know, it's straddling those two sort of genres. And that's why I think, you know, movies like Shaun of the Dead or Tucker and Dale, if you're looking at it from a sort of horror comedy aspect, you know, that they become really good gateway horrors.
I think so too.
So yeah, I would entirely agree with that. I think if you're not a big horror fan, or you've just not seen that much, I think this is a really good movie, you know, to check you out. It's got a few jumps in there, but it's not like jumping you every 2 seconds. So you don't it's got good.
You're not gonna piss your pants.
Exactly. Maybe the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, maybe. You might start sweating.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm still sweating.
Me too. Just, I can't lie. I'm right there with you. Don't worry.
I keep thinking about the food from Revenge. I can't help it.
I know. I hate it too.
Awesome. Okay. Is there anything else then that you want to bring up before we move on?
So, I'm looking at some of the reviews, and like, it honestly got some good reviews. So if you're like, if that's how you like factor in if you're gonna watch a movie or not, it did get good reviews. And like, I see a bunch of people saying like, this movie is Stranger Things, but it's not, because it's sci-fi versus mystery, like all this crap. But like, if you did like Stranger Things and you kind of like a good typical horror trope, which I mentioned in the beginning, is like, you know, you got the nerd, you got the pervert or rock punk kid, you got the overweight kid, which this kid wasn't even overweight, whatever, anyways.
Just tall.
I hate that trope anyways, but like, it's typical in horror movies, right? So if you like a good trope, if you like 80s music, if you like that genre and that feel, like, this movie is perfect. And if you like Stranger Things, I'm gonna say it relates in a bunch of ways. And so I feel like, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, you know, and you are so excited for a twist at the end, you should definitely watch this movie for sure. For sure. It got great reviews. It really did. I'm looking at it. And so I'm happy for that, you know?
It did get good reviews overall. Obviously, we'll get on to that.
That's right. We talk about that. Yeah.
In a wee bit, because I every week, right, when we're doing this show, I have issues with the way, especially on Rotten Tomatoes. Everyone knows that, you know, you don't listen to critics. Critics don't like horror
movies. They're assholes.
And they're arseholes. Yeah. But I more and more and more, I'm having a real issue with the way that the wording of the sort of, especially of the sort of consensus on that website. But we'll get into that when we get
when
we get into the rating segment. But is that everything then on your list, or are you still, have you still more?
Yeah, no, that is literally, that's it. Okay. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay.
For sure.
Right, let's move on then, and we'll get into some trivia. Now, there's no real finances available on this movie. This movie debuted at Sundance, and then then got a very, very limited cinema release before it was snapped up by Shudder. So we don't really have a budget for this movie. We don't know how much it made. I think it made not very much in its theatrical run, but It was Shudder's second best movie premiere of 2018. Okay. So it was okay. It debuted very, very well on the app.
Yeah.
Do you know, or can you have a guess at the only movie that beat it? What was the better performing horror movie on Shudder of
2018? Oh God. On Shudder?
Yes.
Can I be honest with you? I didn't really get into Shudder until last year. I didn't even know it was a fucking thing. No, I'm serious. When I tell you that Shudder has changed my life, it has seriously changed my life. It's Netflix, but horror. It's perfect. But yeah, I have no clue. Okay. Just because I wasn't on the app.
It's a movie we've talked about. It's Mandy.
Is it real? Okay. I was going to guess, but I didn't want to just guess off, you know. Out of my ass or whatever.
So
in terms
of movie premieres on the app, Mandy is the only one that performed
really
in summer of 84. So we have just done the two best Shudder horror movies. That's
fucking right. Let's go. Hell yeah.
Okay, so this is something that really made me feel a little bit yucky at times. Tiara Scoveby, who plays Nikki, she's the actress who plays Nikki. She was born in 1995 and was 22 whilst they were filming this movie. Graham Verscher, who plays Davey, and they sort of become love interests, was born in 2002 and was 15 years old when this movie was filmed. That kind of made me feel really bad. It made me feel yucky.
Wait, she's 25, you said?
She was 22 at the time of filming.
Oh, 22.
And he was 15.
Ooh,
now I know, like, there's nothing gratuitous in this movie.
Yeah, and no.
A small peck on the lips, like it's not.
Yeah,
talking about tongues.
Anything sexual? No.
Or anything like that. But even still,
yeah,
kind of just I felt a bit icky about that.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that either. Okay.
It's not just me.
Bad casting choice.
We'll move on. We'll move on briefly. The Volkswagen Beetle that Mackie drives out of his lockup. Do you know why they included that?
Oh gosh.
It's to scratch the true crime itch again.
Because of what is it, that serial killer's name? He drove a punch buggy as well, a beetle. Help me. Starts with a T.
It's Ted Bundy.
Yeah, Ted Bundy. Thank you. I was like, it's TB, but I couldn't fucking remember it. Thank you. Yeah, because he drove the same vehicle.
Yeah.
The same kind of vehicle.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you put that in there as a direct nod to the fact that
Ted Bundy also owned. That is so creepy and I love it. Sorry. See, it's shit like that. It's shit like that. That is like, that to me is like 10 out of 10 perfect. You know? Like, ugh, icky, but great.
Yeah, there's a whole host of other, you know, references to various other movies in this as well. You know,
so interesting.
There's Star Wars references.
Okay. Interesting.
There's a couple others as well that I can't remember now off the top of my head.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do reference a whole host of stuff that happens in the 1980s
interesting
as well. According to IMDb, they obviously use a number of slang words in this. You know, they say things like the word convo. And the phrase "take a chill pill." They also reference the AIDS crisis of the 1980s.
Oh yeah.
Some of this doesn't actually happen until later than 1984.
So they're
just a little bit out of place. I mean, this is being like really, really nitpicky now.
Yeah.
So you know, it happens just a couple of years after this movie, so they shouldn't really be in there. But I mean, it's not going to spoil your enjoyment of this film.
Oh yeah, no.
And that's really it. There wasn't actually a huge amount of trivia available for this movie. Yeah, but I thought there was a few relatively interesting points there. You know, I always find links to stuff like the Ted Bundy thing really interesting as well. And the whole
I love that.
And the fact that this was so successful on Shudder as well, because I didn't really think there was a lot of fanfare around this film.
I will just say, like, we've talked about this before. I think Shudder has been one of the greatest things for horror movies because first of all, like I said, I didn't even know the fucking thing existed until last year, you know? And I just feel like it getting on Shudder was a really good move. Well, it really was. I think it could have saved it, like, honestly, personally, you know?
How many horror films have you seen on Shudder that otherwise you probably would have never seen?
Never, like, in a movie theater?
Yeah.
Oh my, like, probably all of them.
And we're not talking, and we're, and they're not in the movie theater because they're not good enough. Although most of these movies are perfectly good enough to get its the own theatrical release.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for one reason or another, I don't think they would have ever done it. So
to us. I mean, no, are you kidding me? Critics would have killed them. Yes. Critics would have killed them if it would have gone to the movie theaters, which is why I'm saying like Shudder is like the best thing to ever happen to horror, because you have so, well, I say so many, but like you have this community, you have this community that is like obsessed with it. I just really don't, I think the critics and the theaters and like your normal typical person would have killed these movies. They would have hated them.
Yeah. Truly. And for me, the best example of that is Host. As well,
yes. Which
came out obviously last year.
I loved that movie.
Yeah, we've had Emma Louise Webb on the show.
Who I love that. Plays
Emma, and we've got some further announcements that I'm not quite going to reveal just yet. I'll tell you off air. that movie, you know, completely capitalized on, you know, the pandemic and the lockdown and things like that. But and it is getting a theatrical release. It's been theatrically released since it debuted on Shudder. But without Shudder, we would probably have never ever seen or heard of that movie.
No, you know, never.
So, I think it's definitely brought a whole generation of movies to fans that might not have been otherwise. You know, had it been 10 years ago, I don't think we'd have seen some of these movies.
Oh my God, could you imagine if they fucking put Mandy in the theaters? No. Everyone would have hated it. Oh my gosh, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No. What confuses me is, like, Shudder's this massive success story. You know, it's now a super, super popular app. Yet, other streaming services like Netflix, like Amazon Prime, like whatever it is you list, like, we have Now TV here. We don't get HBO Max here.
Okay.
We don't get Hulu here. But, you know, so, like, all of these streaming services, none of them even seem to attempt to compete on a horror front.
No.
And that's what's really disappointing for me, because for me, purely in terms of the movies that's on there, Shudder's fucking killing it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love that. I love that damn thing. Like, I'm not even joking. When I found it last year, and I'm pretty sure it's because like I started like really diving kind of into, you know, like being on a podcast like this and really digesting a movie is new to me, and like Shudder has been great for me, like, seriously, honestly, like, as a horror fan and as someone who really likes to look at elements of a film more than the film itself, like, I'm loving it, especially in the horror genre.
It's not even just the horrors. There's a lot of documentaries on there.
Oh,
there's
yes.
A lot of behind the scenes stuff. On
yes.
There, which
I love too.
The majority of horror fans love behind the scenes style.
100%.
You know, we have so many, you know, special edition Blu-rays and box sets and things that have all these special
editions.
We love seeing that stuff. So.
Oh yeah.
Long story short, Shudder is Shudder is fucking killing it. But shall we move on to the final segment?
Yep, let's go for it.
Okay, let's talk about the ratings and our final thoughts. As always, we will start off with the critic scores. IMDb rated this a 6.7 out of 10. Metacritic scored it at 57 out of 100. The Rotten Tomatoes critics scored it at 72% fresh. The Rotten Tomatoes audience only scored it 67%, which was a little bit surprised. I was surprised the audience scored it lower. But this is what really upset me. So Rotten Tomatoes critics have scored this at 72%, which is a decent score. Like, that's not a bad score. And you know, you think, okay, the critics have rated it 72%. The critics generally are pretty harsh on horror
assholes
movies. So you think, right, so they must have liked this is the critic's consensus. Summer of 84 suffers from an over-reliance of nostalgia for its titular decade, but a number of effective jolts may still satisfy genre enthusiasts. Now that's just not a 72% consensus right there. That's not someone who thought this movie was a 7 or over 7 out of 10. So that's, and I'm noticing this more and more and more, that even with high-ish scores, the actual like words there are just not matching up with the scores.
Yeah, that's bugging me. Yeah, that is very strange. Okay. Yeah, I see now. Okay, interesting.
Anyways, Ashlina, on a scale of 0 to 10, what are you going to rate Summer of 84?
Oh my gosh, I hate this. Why do I hate this so much? Because I feel like I'm being mean, or like,
this is
if
a
I
tough
don't give...
one. This is a
yeah.
tough one.
Like honestly, okay. And I want to preface this with saying, like, this isn't because I thought that the movie was bad or I didn't enjoy it in any way. I'm kind of just trying to match it to what I think other people would think. I would probably give it like a 6.5 as well.
I think that's pretty fair, to be honest yeah. with you. Because, yeah. you know, I've been sitting there because, as you probably know, like, I keep a list of every rating that we've ever done on this podcast.
Yes.
So
yes.
I can go back and see what we've rated previous episodes, previous yeah. movies. And so I look at it and I think, right, what did I rate certain other movies? Do I think this yeah. movie was better than that movie? Now, obviously, you can only really rate movies within their own sort of subgenre as well.
Right.
I think it's unfair.
Right.
You can't compare, you know, certain movies from like supernatural genre
yeah.
to some movies
yeah.
that are like just body horror, you know, because
yeah
true
yeah.
But having said that, you know, I looked at movies like Mandy, for example, that we had done previously on the show. Completely different movie. We
yeah.
between me and you had rated that a 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
And I had to try and decide whether I enjoyed this more or less than I enjoyed Mandy. Or
yeah.
even going back to some other movies as well. You know, we recently did The Addams Family. That got an 8.8 from us.
Yeah.
Hellraiser got an 8 from us. And I'm like, did I enjoy it as much as those movies?
Yeah.
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay.
I think that's about right. And in fairness...
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a very similar score to what all the critics and the
yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes audience are giving it. We're all in that sort of same ballpark, apart from Metacritic,
yep.
but Metacritic's always really low.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's about right. There,
yeah.
we've talked about some of the issues this movie has.
Yeah,
it does
exactly.
have issues. It's not a perfect film. It drags
yeah, no.
a little bit. I feel like they could have maybe given us an extra red herring in there just to
yep.
try and throw us off track a little bit.
Yeah,
but. That last fucking 20 minutes is
yeah,
just
so great.
Amazing. So
yeah.
I think it's a 7 for me, but I can easily understand why people would think this would be a higher rated film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So with our scores, combining those with the critic scores gives Summer of 84 an average rating of 6.6 out of 10. It
okay.
puts it in 46th place in the list of movies that we have covered on the show, and it gives it the exact same score as 3 other movies.
Okay.
And this, so it gives it the exact same score as Saw, which
okay.
got very, very low ratings from the critics.
Yeah.
It gave it the exact same score as Cube. I don't know if you've seen Cube.
No, I don't think I have, actually.
It's a
okay.
1998 film. It's definitely one that's worth checking out, I would recommend.
Okay.
We did it... like 4 weeks ago now on the show, so it's one
okay.
of the sort of more recent ones. And it also
okay.
gives it the exact same score as the original Child's Play.
Okay. Okay. All those are, you know, I heard Saw and I'm like, okay, well, that is torture porn. That is completely opposite side of the spectrum. And then, you know, Child's Play is like considered a slasher, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's hard to like, I'm like, okay, I understand, but at the same time, I'm like, those are all completely different.
That's
but okay.
it. And that goes back yeah. to what I was saying about, you know, you can only really rate
yeah.
something within its own
right.
subgenre. You know,
right,
people,
right, right.
There will be people out there who think, what are you even talking about? Saw is infinitely better, but, you know, they're maybe,
true,
they
yeah.
maybe love gore movies that bit more or body horror that bit more, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, that's really not some people's bag. But
yeah, torture porn is not my cup of tea. I can't get into it. It's just, to me, it's just like, what the fuck is going on? But yeah,
that's good.
I get it.
We've got Martyrs coming up soon. So.
Oh.
I think we're doing that in about
yeah.
4 weeks.
Oh my God.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
It's, yeah. as always with the episodes now, we throw it out onto our social medias and ask for you guys, the listeners, to get some of your opinions on the movie that we've just discussed. And then we read the best ones out on air. So we read three or four out. So we threw out to you guys, the listeners, about Summer of 84. Ashy Slashy on Twitter had this to say. She said, "I love this movie. The ending really got me, and I rewatched with my daughter, and she couldn't believe the ending either."
Oh, wow.
Very rewatchable. So messed up.
Yeah, yeah, it's disturbing.
I think that's it. Again, it's the end. Look, the ending is really what's going to catch you with this movie. That's really
what's
make it.
Sit through it.
There might be times where you think, "Oh, is this going to be worth it?"
Yes. I fucking hate this. It is.
The Real Donks on Twitter says, "Great thriller that gets very dark by the end. It's like The Goonies meets Silence of the Lambs."
Okay. Goonies. I can see The Goonies. Okay.
I'm not sure if I can see The Silence of the Lambs.
No, I can't. I mean, oh god, that movie gives me the chills. I really love that movie. But I could definitely see The Goonies for sure.
Brooker Horror on Instagram says, "This was a fun watch. The last 15 minutes are nuts when the attic stairs begin to lower ...
Oh yeah.
Just gives you the chills. And finally, great friend of the show, Galileo. She says, "This is a slow burn with a twist that I loved. It's not a movie I'll watch multiple times, but I'll recommend it to people. The end actually creeped me out. So good." And I think all of those people are pretty spot on. Can't talk about this movie without talking about that ending.
Oh yeah, and it's we talked about it first.
It's like The Mist.
Yeah,
you can't talk about The Mist without talking about that ending. You know, and I think this is a movie that actually could almost, maybe not quite compete. I don't know if it could compete. I'm not sure, but you know, it's one of those movies you have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I'm trying to think. I do want to, you know, obviously give a huge shout out to Matt Leslie, who is one of the writers who is on Twitter and is very involved with the horror community. Obviously, you know, that's so important, I feel like, for horror movies. I feel like if every horror movie writer, or even writers in general, like, got involved more with the community, like, just a little bit more, I think it would completely make their day, because I feel like we're very passionate people. But no, obviously, just huge shout out to Matt for this movie, and I can't wait for him to hear the episode and just hear our thoughts and everything like that. But no, such a great movie, and I feel like when we're able to digest the movies this way and kind of talk about it in the way that we have, I feel like that could make the movie more attractive to some people. So I hope that you watch it. I hope that you watch it in the same respect, in the same regards that we did, and kind of take that disturbing, creepy, chilling, you know, like, this could happen in real life kind of feel to it. And I think it will completely change your mind about the movie.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. This is a movie that I will absolutely recommend that people go
and cherish watch. I cherish it. Yeah. I really do. I think it's a great movie.
And look, don't get me wrong, like, we nitpicked about a few things, but by and large, these nitpicks were pretty minor.
Yeah.
There was nothing really in there that we're saying, "Oh, this totally ruined the movie," or anything like that.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
No.
And there are so few perfect movies out there. There's not.
Oh my god, right?
There's hardly any. So, you know, this is, like I say, it might feel a little bit long in certain places, but stick with it. Stick with it right until the bitter end, because the ending is something special.
It is.
Obviously, you've listened to us talk about it, because we do spoiler-filled episodes. So you already know what the ending is. But if you haven't watched this movie yet, go and check it out, because I don't know if our words can truly do this ending justice.
Yeah, no. I really don't think so.
But that's going to do it for this week's show. Ashlina, as always, thank you so much for agreeing to come back on.
Of course.
And hopefully we can get you on again in the future, because I know my other two co-hosts are actually dying to do an episode with you.
I'm ready.
They were unable to do so today. Lucy, I think, was streaming today, and Lindsay just caught wind of this really late, I think, so she didn't get a chance to sort of sit down and do the movie. But I know they're both really, really dying to do an episode with you as well, so hopefully we can get you back onto the show soon. I'm sure you'll pick something else because you've picked all three of the movies that you covered, because generally the way it goes is that I will give guest hosts like a choice.
Okay.
So normally I would give like a guest host maybe a choice of like five movies, and I'll try to pick like a a spectrum of movies. Yeah. You know, I tried to pick from different genres, and but generally, you know, I have a bit of a short list of movies that, you know, that I want to get covered. But you always pick good movies, so I never ever need to give you the list of movies. So you're one of the few guest hosts that just gets free reign of which movies you want to cover. So
hell yeah,
feel special. Ashlina, do you want to remind everyone where they can find you on your socials and tell them what you've got coming up on your Twitch?
Yes. So again, my name is Ashlina. You can find me, all of my social handles, I forgot to say that in the beginning, but all of my social handles, Ashlina with two A's at the end as well, on everything, Instagram, Twitter, all of the things, YouTube. And then you can find me on twitch.tv/Ashlina. Right now I am actually playing Skyrim for the first time. Nice. Yeah, everyone's like, what the hell, you've never played this game before? I'm like, no. So I'm playing that right now. I'm really enjoying it. This week I will be raising money for Heart Support. So if you want to come out and support a good charity cause, of course you could do that. But we're playing Skyrim. Yeah, I am hopefully going to have some horror goodies coming out in March. And for the most part, I'm just going to be hanging out on Twitch, really, honestly, playing Skyrim. Mm-hmm. I just finished up the Medium. If you want to go watch my VODs, very creepy, very dark, beautiful, like, oh my God, it's like so stunning horror game. But yeah, no, that's about it from me.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, the links to all of Ashlina's social medias will be in the description for this episode. Keep an eye out on our Twitter as well, because no doubt we'll be tweeting about Ashlina's streams and retweeting stuff. So keep an eye out across, especially on Twitter as well. Keep an eye out for that as well. You can follow us on Twitter at Screams Behind. Go to our Facebook and Instagram groups, Behind the Screams Podcast. Go to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Behind the Screams Podcast, where we are playing an absolute variety of horror video games right now. You can go check us out. We are playing things like Silent Hill 2. And once we finish Silent Hill 2, we'll be doing Silent Hill 3. What else are we playing? We're playing Outlast 2. We're playing Dead by Daylight.
Oh, God.
We're currently playing the Walking Dead Telltale series as well. But we've got a whole host of other video games, horror video games lined up. I'm planning on revisiting Alien Isolation soon.
Okay.
As well. A game I have played before, but one that makes me jump about 7,000 times.
Yeah. Terrifying.
I'm planning on doing some Resident Evils. Alan Wake, and a whole host of other horror video games.
Alan Wake.
So we have got an absolute ton of content coming up on our channel. So check out our VODs too, because we've been back live there now for a few weeks.
People can
go check that out as well. And finally, go to patreon.com/behindthescreams. You can sign up from just £1 a month. We have two tiers, £1 tier, £5 tier. And in total, you can get access of a minimum of 4 exclusive bonus episodes a month, although you're getting 5 for the month of February. The two movies that we're reviewing, because we often do non-horror or other genre movies. So this month we have already released our review on the movie Snatch, and we've also got a review of Street Fighter coming up later this month as well. We've also got This Week in Horror History, 2 episodes of that every month, and we will have a retrospective at the end of the month on 2 of our Horror Hall of Fame inductees, Sam Raimi and Samara Weaving. So please, if you are subscribed to our Patreon, please check them out when they fall. If you are not, please consider going to subscribe to us as well. That's patreon.com/behindthescreams.
Hell yeah.
Don't forget to check out our episodes that we released last week on the main show. Me, Lucy and Lindsay, we reviewed Warm Bodies. It was our Valentine's Day episode. So please go check that out. And then last Sunday, Candy and Sean from the House That Screams podcast were here. And for the first time ever, we talked about a found footage movie. We talked about VHS. Next week on the main show, again, Lucy and Lindsay are back, and we're possibly talking about one of the most famous, most infamous, most talked about horror movies of all time. We're talking about The Exorcist. So that will be
hell yeah.
And then finally, I'm full of announcements. Next month, so the majority of people celebrate February as Women in Horror Month.
Yes.
International Women's Day actually takes place in March, so we have decided that we're going to make March our Women in Horror Month.
Let's go.
So just to maybe extend it that little bit
longer. Yeah.
So for the entire month of March, I'm not going to be hosting a single episode, and it's going to be amazing. My co-hosts, Lucy and Lindsay, are going to be taking over, and they're going to be hosting all of our March episodes. We've got two special guests coming on the show that, we're not quite going to announce just yet, but our announcements are coming very soon. Also got a bonus episode coming on our Twitch channel as well, where we're just going to be discussing our favourite women in horror, favourite directors, writers, actresses, whatever. So we've got all that coming up in March as well. So a busy
wow.
month ahead. Honestly, I do not have the time for all this, but we'll get it. Yeah. We'll get there.
Yep, that's right.
But
that's right.
Once again, I know I've just talked
about a lot. No.
Ashlina, thank you so much once again for agreeing to come on. Thank you to you guys at home for downloading and listening to this episode. We really appreciate it. And we hope you will join us next time on Behind the Screams.